You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Know what's always on my mind, kid? Safety. I live, eat, and breathe safety. When I wake up in the morning, I have a large cup of safety with two sugars and a dash of safety. Safety matters. Your safety, my safety, everybody's safety. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products, services, and resources to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. Now pass me one of those safety donuts over there. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One of the world's most influential musicians has died. Senior correspondent Jason Word has this obituary.
Ground control to Major Tom.
He introduced the world to Major Tom, Ziggy Stardust, and the Thin White Duke. David Bowie brought an entirely new sensibility to music that brought in elements of science fiction or instruments not normally known for rock music to create albums unlike anything had been heard before. He was cited as an influence by contemporaries like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and through the years, bands from Kiss to The Cure to the Foo Fighters would point to Bowie as someone they tried to emulate in their performances. Bowie is the only person voted into both the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Science Fiction Hall of Fame. Bowie was diagnosed with liver cancer 18 months ago and hid it from his fans. He recorded his final album that was released 2 days ago called Black Star as a farewell to his fans. David Bowie was 69. I'm Jason Worth.
Getting a ride with Uber is getting cheaper. The ride-hailing app lowered prices in 80 U.S. and Canadian cities this weekend. Uber says the price cuts are aimed at raising demand in a seasonally slow month. Prices in some cities, including New York and Chicago, will stay the same for now. A slump in the coal industry is taking a toll on one U.S. company. The country's second largest coal miner, Arch Coal, filed for bankruptcy today. A drop in coal prices has left the company $4.5 billion in debt. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
And we're here at Hot and Hunterdon. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and I have with me today on January 11th, Michael Stephen Daigle. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Georgine. Glad to be here again. Thank you.
And we have some exciting news today you're going to share with us, so we can't wait to get started on that. As you know, we always like to start out with a quote here at Hot and Hunterdon, so we wanted to do a quote on from an author today, since you know you're one of my favorite writers here, so... We're going to set the tone. This is from Edgar Rice Burroughs, and the quote is, "I have been successful probably because I have always realized that I knew nothing about writing and have merely tried to tell an interesting story entertainingly."
That's about right. I find it interesting that you can spend your whole life just writing and you end up sort of doing it right. You can end up your whole life studying writing and not necessarily do it right.
That's a lot about life too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's you just work at it every day. And after a while, fortunately for me, I was in the newspaper business, so it exposed me to a lot of places and people and watching people interact and you just learn to watch, and as you watch all that stuff, the behaviors become part of what you understand, and that's reflected in the two Frank Nagler books.
Don't start with our top news right here. Right. We're going to do a commercial. It's called a teaser.
That's
we have
true.
Some hot news
we
to
have some
share
hot.
At
right.
Hot and Hunterdon. So. We have to give a little teaser. We're going to do a commercial break, and then we'll be back to talk about our exciting news.
Okay.
And we'll be in the studio here with Michael Stephen Daigle.
Good morning, Hunter. Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
We're back here at Hot in Hunterdon, and I have your weather for today. And in one word, it is cold. I don't know how it could be 60 degrees yesterday and today. It feels like it's weather that should be in a very, very cold state, and that state not being New Jersey, but it is actually 32 degrees out, and it's fair. And we have some sunny temperatures today. Our high today was about 35, and we've past that, and the temperature is dropping now. Tonight we're looking at some increasing clouds, and it's going to be another very cold evening with the low around 19 today. Tuesday, I don't like to say the S word, but I have no choice here, and it's scattered snow showers. So if I have to say the S word and it means snow, at least I could put scattered and showers after, so it's not too bad. And that's mainly afternoon. We have some snow showers. But we should have a high near 38, which means it hopefully won't stick. And if we look at our forecast for the week, it is actually a chance of snow showers Tuesday evening as well. But Wednesday, it's mostly sunny. This cold is going to stay with us. We have a 30-degree day on Wednesday, but with some sun. Thursday is much of the same with a high of 32 and partly sunny. But Friday, if we can make it till Friday, we have a mostly sunny day with a high of 41. So that's our weather for the week. And hopefully the snow showers will be at a minimum. We're going to take a short commercial break here, and then we're going to be back with our exciting news from Michael Stephen Daigle.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're back here at Hot in Hunterdon, and I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, with Michael Stephen Daigle. And now, Mike, you can tell me your exciting news. I tried to book you as close to the news as possible. So thanks for coming in today. And you can let our listeners know why today was such a good day to book you on Hot in Hunterdon.
Today is a good day.
And you noticed my pun, book you.
Yeah, all right,
making sure everyone's paying attention.
We got it.
It's never good when you have to explain it.
I know. That's true. That's fine. The news is that the second of my Frank Nagler mystery series has been published. It came out end of last week on Amazon, and it's online. Amazon and Kobo will be up on Barnes & Noble shortly. It's called The Game Called Dead. It is a direct sequel to the previous Frank Nagler book called The Swamps of Jersey. Nagler is a police detective in a town called Ironton, New Jersey. It's an old factory town, which we're all familiar with. He deals with the personal guilt or the personal grief of having his wife die when she was very young, and it influences everything he does as a policeman, because, as he said in the first book, he buried his grief in his police work, and he never really addressed the fact that she had died and that he should do something other than be a cop. So in the first book, it was about murder and political corruption. And in the second book, it's about murder and urban terrorism. A character who takes on the online moniker of hashtag Armageddon is baiting the local police and the state police as the body count rises and downtown stores are getting vandalized and the local youth community center goes up in flames. And this guy kind of taunts them from the netherworld about why they can't catch him.
And if no one's read the first book, I know you can read each book, but it's nice to start with the first one, which is The Swamps of Jersey. And that's also available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and some of the local bookstores.
Yeah, the had it in bookstores. Now that I'm waiting for a shipment of books for the game called Dead, and then I will have both of them in area bookstores as soon as they show up. Where this is a sequel is that some of what happens in the first book is directly related to what happens in the second book. I carry over a group of characters, Frank Nagler, the policeman, his sort of girlfriend, Lauren Fox, who, while she didn't appear in the first book, actually played a major role in bringing the corruption to light. She's back in the second book in a different way. And for them, going forward, it's, okay, now that we're in the same place, what do we do between ourselves? And there's a little bit of that in the second book. She's caught up in the action of the second book. In the second book, there's also a college professor who's writing a book. In the first book, let me back up briefly, part of the story involved a serial killer named Charlie Adams, who Frank Nagler brought to justice, and to his dislike, it made him famous because Charlie Adams killed 9 women. He was a young kid who just had no soul and was just a ravenous killer. Nagler catches him, puts him in jail. And in the second book, a college professor named Harriet Wadley Jones gets a hold of Frank because she's writing a book about the Charlie Adams murders and needs to use his research. They don't hit it off real well because that's not something Nagler wants to spend a lot of time dealing with. But as the story goes forward, they have some of the more interesting dialogue I think I've written. They're both hiding stuff, emotionally hiding things. They both have cross purposes. He wants to be the cop just working the case, and she wants to find out what he thinks about working the case, and he really doesn't want to talk about what he thinks about working the case. But then she becomes something else, and I'm not going to tell you what that is. You're going to have to read the book to figure it out. But the title of the book, A Game Called Dead, comes from a college game played first as a video game, and it was sort of a game, an old style video game where empires battled each other, and the idea was to take over the kingdom. And the original name was The Hunter's Lair, and the goal of the game was to capture the hunter. Well,
now I have to ask, how did you find out about this game?
It just invented it. Certainly in our lives in the last few years, there's been lots of video games, and certainly now, you know, you can play them on your cell phone. And it was the kind of thing that it made sense, but I needed a in the first version of the book, that's all it was just this game. In the second book, the story takes on the structure of the game. There are allies who need to be dealt with. There are bad allies, you know, bad guys who need to be dealt with. And it's a question of who's on the list and how do you get to the hunter. And the website for the game shows this bedraggled sort of heroic figure holding a holding his arm in the air with a bow and arrow or something, and that's the hunter. And the game says, have you caught the hunter yet? The kids, as the game evolves, because it takes on a real world variety where kids are dressing up in costumes and portraying some of the action on campus, in town, places like that, it becomes this very, you know, odd permutation. The kids call it a game called Dead, because what happens is it's no longer old King Arthur kind of heroism. It's just a matter of killing enough people so you're the good, you're the winner. So they just call it a game called Dead, and that's where the title of the book comes from.
And I get confused with you because you are a great storyteller. So this game is in real life, or this is
it's both.
Okay,
it's both. And it's also online, okay. And it's online, and I mean, because as one of the, as part of the interviewing process, because the story opens with a break-in at the college, and two young women are beaten. One of them dies, and the rookie cop assigned to that murder case with Frank Nagler finds out that there's this game that's on campus, and it's called the game called Dead, and all three of the women involved in this thing play the game. And one of them explains, you know, somewhat pedantically, but you need to explain it to set up everything else, that this is how it happens. And somewhere along in the past, somebody decided, maybe at a party, there was a good idea, let's all dress up in costume and take this thing out into the street. And so suddenly you've got all these costumed characters running around trying to kill each other, in theory. But what happens is that some things become real. Kids who were told they were going to get beaten, have their legs broken, have their legs broken.
All right, so we're going to actually learn a little bit. Sometimes I just can't tell with you what's reality and what's what is in the book. So I'm glad that you explained that to me. I've never been to a party where people dress up and
kill each other.
Kill each other. So I guess I have something to be grateful for today. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back here at Hot and Hunterdon and not paying attention to the commercials because we got into a discussion about the book and things and marketing and all different things. So just to bring us back, Mike was with Michael Stephen Daigle, whose second book has hit the stores and was just released a few days ago. And that book is called The Game Called Dead. And we're just learning a little bit about what The Game Called Dead actually is, both the version where it was
a draft.
Okay, great. A draft. And then how it shows up in the book in our make-believe town of Irontown, New Jersey. I love that the book is set in a make-believe town of New Jersey. And it could be any city in New Jersey. And I love that. And I wondered why this book started 2 years after the last book, Swamps of New Jersey.
It seemed like a reasonable time frame. And part of that is that the setting in Irontown, in the first book, it was an economically depressed town. Political corruption delayed any kind of progress on fixing the local economy. And then they had a flood, and then they had a major fire, and they threw all the bad guys in jail. And I didn't want to go out 10 years because too much – and even in a fictional sense, too much would have happened in the town to create the continuity of both Nagler's development as a character and the town's development as the setting. Because two things go on in the book. One, you have Nagler, who was in the first book was just a grumpy old guy. In the second book, he's a lot less grumpy. In the third book, hopefully he'll be less grumpy, but still troubled, because if he ever becomes less troubled, then I don't have a character. But the development of Irontown as a setting, it follows some similar progress. Nagler is a native of the town, and so he identifies closely with the economic and life conditions in his city. And that's part of the reason in the first book he gets so mad and so determined to find the criminals, because he figures out that they are part of the reason the town hasn't progressed. 2 years seemed about right. The town hasn't made a tremendous amount of progress, but in a couple of years, some new spokesmen have showed up, one of which is Rashard Jackson, who's an old high school football hero who takes over a community center. And he's become sort of the focal point for residents wanting to see action in economic development in their town. And he holds a couple of marches that attract some kids. And one of the things I tried to do there was the kids develop a makeshift drum line. And the drum line becomes the sound of the town improving. It shows up in various places. And even Nagler points out to Harriet at one point, listen to that. That's the sound of this town getting better. It doesn't mean that they went from being a depressed city to the city on the hill, because there's progress and there's steps in between. And this is just a single step. So a couple of years seem to be right. The third one, which I'm working on now, is 5 years down the road.
Oh.
I have to figure out how all of that played out. It's still not... it's better, but it's not particularly they didn't become Palm Beach very quickly. There's progress. And if you think about redevelopment in real life, it takes a decade or more. It takes a couple of decades.
Yeah,
so
certainly.
That's sort of, it would be unrealistic for it to go from being a really depressed city to being fixed in a couple of years. So 2 years seemed about right to show progress.
Now, is that your optimism that towns can come out of an economic decline?
Yeah.
And they can, you want our town to be thriving someday.
You want it to be a thriving town eventually, or at least moving in the right direction. And one of the things I covered as a reporter was economic development and redevelopment and
politics.
And politics.
And those two things.
We see in New Jersey with like transit-oriented development where towns commit to a plan and sit down and change their zoning and come up with reach out to the funders And they know that it's going to take them 10 years to do it, but they do it block by block. I can name half a dozen towns in the last 3 or 4 years who have done that. And it's the recognition of the change in demographics, the change in job structure in the state, and the fact that you can't just sit there and watch your town fall apart all the time.
And some of those towns, they do get to thriving, and then they decline again. Yeah. So you can have a long, long history with Irontown.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of ups and downs.
Well, I think we see now Jim Hughes from Rutgers talks about the end. He actually wrote about this more than a decade ago, the end of sprawl, where everyone moved to the suburbs. Well, I've taught in the last couple of years, I've talked to enough mayors and even corporate people to know that what they're trying to do, because all those suburban kids don't want to work in the suburbs.
We see in some of the towns, Hoboken, yep, these residencies are thriving there, and the suburban sprawl certainly has limited. And yeah, I think you took a lot of poetic license taking a football team and throwing that into the midst. That never happens in New Jersey. No. We never put football first or sports first.
You needed a character. Rashad became a character who would attract a following. He's a decent guy. He would have become a real big star, except he got hurt. But he came back to his town and began working on things, looked at the condition of the life facing his kids that come to his center, and realized that they may not have the same chance that he did. So he begins to work, and I think he develops sort of a realistic step-by-step approach to fix one block at a time. And so you need characters like that in order to make your fictional city revitalize at some point.
And I think your optimism comes across in the book, and even some of the characters, you know that they have a way to go to grow. They have flaws. They're realistic, but you want them to prosper. You want them, and I think a lot of that is your opportunity for optimism just shining through there.
No, thank you. You have to decide who your bad guys are, and there's # Armageddon is a bad guy, and a lot of things he does harm a lot of people. But you look at a guy like Nagler, who is grumpy but dedicated. I mean, he's your basic hardworking cop, shows up every day, looks at how to figure out a case. And then you surround him with people. I like the character, the police sergeant woman, who actually in my first reading had her name change from about halfway through the book. Her name is Ramirez. About halfway through the book, she became Rivera. Unfortunately, one of the copy editors caught that. Thank you very much. She's a bulldog. And she's like a lot of cops that I knew. We have a problem in front of us. Let's solve the problem. You need characters like that. You need guys like Del Williams, who's an old high school friend of Frank Nagler's, who was a junkie and then gets saved and begins working at the center. He's got a sort of a tertiary role in the second book, but he's important because in the long scheme of these things, which is at least three books, he plays a different role. We introduced the character of Leonard, Nagler's blind friend who runs a bookstore. And actually, he was a character who, in the first write of the book, came out. I was in a bookstore, one of those old, dusty, dark bookstores, piles of books all over the table, and the owner of the store wasn't blind, and he wasn't in a wheelchair, but he was this remarkably fat human being sitting behind a desk, and he never moved the whole time I was in the store, but would just yell out instructions every now and then when I asked him a question. and he became Leonard. And Leonard was a troubled youth, and Nagler helped him out, and he runs a bookstore that unfortunately gets caught up with hashtag Armageddon. But he's a touchstone, and because he knew Nagler's wife when she was alive, there's a piece of the memory there that they play off of. The growth for Nagler is how do you move past that? How you can't live, because his wife at this point died 20 years before this story opens, and you can't just stop living on that day. And he sort of figures that out, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next book as he moves into the next phase of his emotional life. So
he definitely has depth, Mike. He definitely does, and I can't wait to see him evolve. We're going to go to a news break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about how we can get our hands on this book. So I hope everyone stays with us, and we'll go right to the news now.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Mexican authorities have been aggressive about looking for Mr. Guzman and bringing him into custody. We obviously commend the Mexican authorities for their success.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest is commending Mexico for the capture of drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman.
We're going to continue to work with Mexico and other partners around the world to respond to the threats that are posed by transnational criminal organizations.
The U.S. is trying to get Guzman extradited to America to face criminal charges. Earnest offered no comment about actor Sean Penn and his Rolling Stone interview with Guzman. Donald Trump continues to lead GOP rival Ted Cruz in Iowa. 3 weeks before the Iowa caucus, a new Quinnipiac University poll has Trump leading the Texas senator 31-29%. That's a bit of an increase for Trump, who led by 1 percentage point in last month's survey of likely caucus goers. This is USA Radio News.
The fight to preserve Western civilization and Western values in America is more important than it's ever been, and that's why you'll want to be at the Western Conservative Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 18th and 19th. It's the premier gathering of conservatives in the Western United States. It's the event you don't want to miss. Conservative stars from around the country will be there, including Governor Mike Huckabee.
Military is not a social experiment. The purpose of the military is kill people and break things.
America's Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
We're bringing the illegal immigration problem back to the forefront.
Keynote speaker and former presidential candidate Herman Cain.
The American dream is under attack.
But the good news is we are fighting back.
For more information, go to westernconservative.org. Register now for March 18th and 19th. Sign up for early bird pricing and see the confirmed list of speakers and sponsors. Get involved with the fight for our future at westernconservative.org.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is defending the governor of Maine after he made comments some say were racially charged.
Maine's Governor Paula Page sparked outrage when he made a racially charged comment about drug dealers.
These type of guys that come from Connecticut, New York, they come up here, they sell their heroin, then they go back home. Incidentally, half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave.
Speaking on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Republican presidential candidate New Jersey Governor Chris Christie defended LePage.
It doesn't change a bit for me, my affection for him, my respect for him as a leader and as a person. He's a good man.
I'm Chuck Gomez.
A memorial is growing in front of David Bowie's New York City apartment building. Fans of the British rock star are stopping by with flowers, candles, and notes.
David Bowie changed a big part of our lives. He was a big part of our lives. We love his music, the way he dressed.
Bowie died last night after a year and a half battle with cancer. He turned 69 on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Ah, the beginning of a new year started off right during Rite Aid's 2016 Starting Points. Because every week through January 23rd, you can ring in the values with 1,000 Plenty Points worth $10 in savings when you spend $30 on participating products with your Wellness Plus with Plenty card. That adds up to big savings every week for the entire month, but only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Worth at least $10. Limit 2 offers per card per week. Plenty as a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
After a bumpy road in recent years, the Honda Civic has made its way to the top. USA's Tammy Rose reports.
It has been named 2016 North American Car of the Year. Automotive journalists from the U.S. and Canada decide the award. The Honda model has seen its ups and downs through the years. Its 2011 design was bombed by critics. Then a makeover in 2012 put it in good graces of Consumer Reports. But Civic sales fell last year, while rivals including Toyota Corolla had banner years. Now the Honda Civic is back with a sporty redesign, and auto journalists approve. This is not the first time the Honda Civic has won the award. It also won the title in 2006. I'm Tammy Rose.
Ford is getting ready to launch an app to help drivers cope with their commute, even if they don't drive Fords. The carmaker will launch Ford Pass in April. The smartphone app will help with parking and other services, provide live assistance on chat or voice, and offer reward-based programs with companies that partner with Ford. It's a game that started it all. The NFL Network is rebroadcasting Super Bowl I 49 years after the game first aired. The contest between the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs hasn't been available until now. The original broadcast footage from CBS and NBC was either lost or recorded over. However, NFL Films searched its archives and was able to piece together all 145 plays from the game. It'll air January 15th. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
And we're back in the studio with Georgine Trinkle, and the host here today at Hot and Hunterd In. It's our weekly show from 4 to 5, and I'm happy to have Michael Stephen Daigle with me talking about A Game Called Dead, writing process. And I know we're going to talk right now about where we can get this book, the second book in the Frank Nagler series.
Right now, it is available at Amazon.com, Kobo.com, and hopefully by the end of the day at BarnesandNoble.com.
Excellent. And if it's not there today, they could just keep checking back. I remember with the first book, Swamps of New Jersey, or Swamps of Jersey, there was a little delay in the Barnes & Noble piece, but then it popped up and you were able to get it.
Yeah, and the publisher told me they were having the same coding issues as before, so it's not a big deal. It's just a matter of getting all the computers to talk to each other correctly.
Okay.
And I have ordered print copies for myself, which I will be getting out to bookstores over the next 10 days easily. Also I'll be getting it into libraries. I have Swamps of Jersey is in several libraries around the state. I'm going to go back to them, and the other ones I'm going to give them both books. So
excellent. And I'll give a plug for the Clinton Bookshop,
right?
Because they had your book earlier,
right?
And I'm sure they'll
and they're gonna
have
get,
it again.
They're going to get this one.
Harvey, if you're listening, Michael will be down with the book soon as they're ready.
And it's going to be supported this time with a little better advertising support from me and a little public notice support. The one thing that I learned last year was how to do this better. So it's a matter of persistence. And that's the word these days for all authors. The business, the internet, the online book selling has changed everything. And you can spend thousands and thousands of dollars that none of us actually have to do it. Or you can try to smartly find ways to get the notice of your book out. And that's why I want to get into libraries. That way I can go and hopefully arrange a few readings there. A friend of mine who published a book on her that she wrote during her doctoral thesis told me that Moravian Bookstore, for example, on Sundays sets aside an afternoon where authors can go in and have book signings. So I'm going to arrange, when I get the books, I'll arrange that.
That's excellent. For our readers who don't know, the Moravian Bookstore is a bookstore in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and it is a treasure trove of books, and it has the old feel to the bookstore, and it's a great place. And I know that in the past you've done some author appearances as well with other fellow authors, and I hope you'll be doing that again.
Yeah, I hope so. And they come out of nowhere. And I did one up in the Bergen County Library System because my brother, who with his wife is a folk music act, happened to be playing there. They're from Massachusetts. How they ended up at the Rutherford Public Library, I'm not really sure. But we went up there, and I was talking to the librarian and gave her a couple copies of the book. And she said, oh, by the way, call this woman and see if we can get you into our biannual book fair. And so we got in. I went up there and had a great day talking with all these authors, and there was about 3,000 or 4,000 people there. And
fantastic.
It was fun. It was just great fun, you know.
I'm a big believer that the libraries should be the core of our towns and our areas and a gathering place. And some librarians do this so well, and some don't understand that, that they're there to serve the community. And literacy is such a an important thing. And especially in poverty, we know that kids have less words when they're growing up in poverty and the language. And we have a reading room in Phillipsburg at the Housing Authority to try to encourage people to build their own library at home.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's, absolutely. It's you know, the they talked about the demise of libraries in the internet age, but it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
They've become the centers of all of that activity because all that information needs to be in one place and make it accessible to people. And so you saw the libraries step up with more computers and better computer systems and computer classes and tax prep and all of those things that draw people into the building. And as a result, people are reading a lot of things. It helps magazine subscriptions, and it gives people who don't have computers at home a place to get information and do research and just read. So
now, have you given any thought with this book to doing any podcasts or having the book available on audio?
That's something I'm going to look at. I have friends who are voice artists, and I've got to pick their brains on how to do that. I'm also going to play around. I actually did a webcast. A friend of mine put me in touch with this woman from and I'm sorry, Sally, I'm not quite sure where you're from. I know you're out there in the Midwest somewhere. but we did a YouTube video cast that is linked on my website, michaelstephendaigle.com. And it's had 500 hits, which I find to be remarkable, because I watched it and there I am talking loudly and waving my arms and God knows what I was actually talking about. But Sally was very good. She's done this a lot. So she kept it under control. But yeah, so what I want to be able to do with that is I want, one of the things I want to do when the weather gets a little warmer and get a few sunny days is actually go out and create a video of Ironton in that sense. And then the idea is stand in certain places and read certain passages from the books that relate to those particular places.
That's a great idea.
So it's just, I mean, you know, it's a way of creating. You have to create your own marketing. So
it's certainly different for everyone, and you're doing a great job with a book. So. And I think one of the things that makes you a great writer is that you're willing to just let things go. You just play the story out. You don't necessarily know what the ending is going to be, and you just play your characters out. And that's why I think they evolve. I think Irontown was so strong in the first book, and it just pulled you in because you felt like you could see the abandoned buildings, and you could see the homeless with the fire burning, almost that compelling thing to want to get into that town and try to make it a little bit different. But you don't always necessarily have an end point. You just let things evolve. And I think that with your marketing, it's the same thing. You don't know how you're going to end up at the Bergen County Library, but you just go.
You go and
there's 2,000 people there, and that's a great thing.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing with Ironton and the characters is it's funny. The ending of the last couple of pages of A Game Called Dead, in the actually first version, were in the first 7 pages.
Really?
Yeah. When I started to read it and I realized what I needed to do, I took the original scene from that and actually put it in 3 separate places in the book because the story and the characters had evolved so much. It was important to use it for Frank Nagler's character, but it was too powerful to have in the first 7 pages. It also delayed getting into what the book is, which is a murder mystery. but at the end, there's a sense of reconciliation to all of this, which is sort of where I was kind of aiming. So I put it at the end of the book, about halfway through the process, And I said, okay, that makes sense. I can use that as a target to get to. So what I have to do is create all the obstacles to get there. And as a writer, that's what you do. You pick a target, and it might be halfway through the story where something has to happen, and you find a way to create the obstacles and then get around them, because this is all imaginary. You know, the cool thing about being – I was asked one time, what's the difference between writing fiction and writing journalism? Well, in journalism, you find the facts and you write the facts. In fiction, you make up the facts so you can have them fall in any order you choose.
And I guess it's staying open to possibilities. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back talking more about a game called Dead.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back in the studio having really amazing conversations in between that are throwing me off a little bit here. So I'll have to wait till next year, I guess, to talk more about what we were talking in break. But Mike, maybe you could tell us, being a published author now and having spent so much of your career in journalism and writing on deadlines, what is it that you're most proud of being an author?
I think the fact that just being a writer, going through the process, the thing that you learn in journalism is that you are prepared every day that you are going to write something. So you don't know what it's going to be. Sometimes you do because you're finishing up a project, but it's you go to work every day and you're going to write. The fact that you as an author, you take that discipline, that day-to-day discipline, and you sit down, and whether you write 1,000 words or 100 words or, you know, knock off 2 chapters because everything's flowing very nicely, the fact that you do it and you dedicate yourself to it, because you can't invent from nothing. You know, the great inventors of the world who invented machines didn't walk in the first day and invent the machine. They invented the steps to the machine. And that's what writing is. You invent the steps to the eventual final product. And you have to be willing to just grind your way through it. And I think I don't spend a lot of time looking at online writing sites, because it's all about writer's block and oh, how hard it is and what the reward is. The reward is the act itself, because you have no control over who's going to read it, whether they like it or not. You have no control over whether the fact anyone's going to read it, but you hope that you write it well enough that people will respond, and then. It's self-motivated. I put out a self-published a collection of short stories a few years ago. And you know, a lot of people have downloaded free copies, but nobody bought any. So, you know, you aren't going to make a huge living unless somebody buys the book and pays you a couple million bucks for it. Fat chance. So,
well, I already have the first book as a movie shot in New Jersey. Okay.
All right.
Just so you know, I thought we could shoot it in Jersey City, maybe a little bit in Hoboken.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
A little bit in Patterson. And I have some plans for Phillipsburg over by the bridge. So.
Okay. That works. Well, there was a bridge scene. So, you know.
And is that where you go next? As author, like, do you go, oh, I hope this becomes a movie, or do you just say,
you know, I mean, that's a pipe dream. You know, what I'm hoping.
Well, Mike, a lot of people would say being an author is a pipe dream, and here you are with your second published book.
Well, you know, I think the thing that I'm going to be able to do with this one, finding an agent, I've been lucky that I've got a publisher. I know a lot of people who have been rejected so many times, and they go self-publishing. And there's a way to do that. I have a friend who has self-published several books, and it seems to work for him. Finding an agent is hard. I mean, the Swamps of Jersey one time was rejected in less than 24 hours. I'm not even sure the electronic ink dried on the email that I sent the guy before he sent it back, you know. So it's a game. But, you know, I have two, and I have two in a series. And what I'm probably going to do is just package them off to somebody and say, hi, here's two books. Represent them. They're not bad, you know. The second one, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day, is that, you know, geez, I've published two books in a series. Who does that?
Exactly. Exactly. You know? It's quite an accomplishment. I mean, it's one thing to be an author, but then to have it to be a published author, and then to be a published author of a series, those are significant milestones.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's fine. And it's, you know, I think we've got a small publishing company, and they're growing, and they're fully behind this project. They've been very good. The artwork by Anita was, you know, we go back and forth on it a couple of times, but she said, look, I like your ideas, but if we don't use this motif, no one's going to understand it. And I said, okay, that works, you know.
And can we give a plug out? Your publisher name is hard to say.
It's Imzadi Publishing, Imzadi, from Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was the kind of thing I got their name from an online site that's called Authors Publish Magazine. And what they do is they weekly send out a list of people who are looking for submissions. And Imzadi Publishing was there. I sent them the manuscript. 10 days later, they said, yeah, we'll take it. And it was like, holy smokes.
you just never know. And they published your second book as well, which is great that they see a promise.
They like the series. And I think I'm going to pull back the short story collection, repackage it, and see if they'll take that one on too. That'll give me a book mid-year while I'm writing this one and working on like three others at the same time. So
it seems like a game called Dead. You wrote that so quickly.
This was in one sense, this was almost a rewrite, but it was a complete overhaul of the story. The first version of this wasn't anything like this. There was more of the serial killer lurking in the background kind of thing. This one, as it changed, I didn't want to write that story again because I'd used some of that in Swamps of Jersey. But there were still some remaining elements, and initially the bad guy in this book changed while the story was writing. He was not the person a year ago that he was at the end of this book, because as I was writing and I said, wait a minute, this is what's going to work. And so I had to connect some things to the first book to him that work in a good way.
So tell us, Mike, again, where people can find both Swamps of Jersey and A Game Called Dead.
Both of them are available at Amazon.com. At BarnesandNoble.com and another outlet called Kobo.com. It's available in both an electronic form, so it's available for Kindle and Nook, and in paperback.
And if people wanted to go on your website?
My website is www.michaelstephendaigle.com.
Excellent. And if someone wants to host or they're hosting an author's evening or an author's event and they wanted you to make an appearance, they could contact you through your Facebook page.
Through my Facebook page, LinkedIn. My LinkedIn, through email, which is michaelstephendaigle@hotmail.com. Or go to my website and leave me a message there, or mail me a letter.
You know? They still have mail.
They still have mail. You know,
wasn't sure.
All the bio information is available on my website under About, which actually I think I just updated it. So you know,
that's helpful. Now, yeah. Do you have a favorite of Swamps of Jersey or a game called Dead?
I like them both. I think. Right now, because I'm much closer to A Game Called Dead, I wrote Swamps of Jersey almost 4 years ago in process. I really like A Game Called Dead. I had set some writing challenges, and I think I met them, and I think the story flows very well. I think the characters in it are fun. The wise guy stuff is still there between Jimmy Dawson, and who's a reporter, and Frank Nagler, and Barry, the diner owner. And I think it works. The story works. The structure works. And only, you know, this is the, I had one of my friends read it, and in her comment, because she's a writer herself, her comment at the end after she chastised me for some typos was, this might be the best police murder story I've ever read.
Wow.
And I was like, holy smokes.
Well, everyone better go out and get their book while it's still there. Visit the author's website, www.michaelstephendaigle.com. Check out his Facebook or LinkedIn page. And there's some experts on the Facebook page. You could get to know a little bit of Frank Nagler if you haven't met him in Swamps of Jersey. And it's a good read. It's a good, quick read. It takes your mind and gives you a lot of different possibilities. And you feel like you're talking to an old friend or reading from an old friend because the characters are real. They come alive on the page. So, Mike, thanks for coming on Hot and Hunted in today. Thanks for sharing your second book announcement with us here, and no spoiler alerts for the third book, but you're working on it. Yeah. And I hope you'll come back again. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Have an excellent Monday.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Melanie Burkett.
Mexican authorities have been aggressive about looking for Mr. Guzman and bringing him into custody. We obviously commend the Mexican authorities for their success.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest is commending Mexico for the capture of drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman.
We're going to continue to work with Mexico and other partners around the world to respond to the threats that are posed by transnational criminal organizations.
The U.S. is trying to get Guzman extradited to America to face criminal charges. Earnest offered no comment about actor Sean Penn and his Rolling Stone interview with Guzman. Donald Trump continues to lead GOP rival Ted Cruz in Iowa. 3 weeks before the Iowa caucus, a new Quinnipiac University poll has Trump leading the Texas senator 31-29%. That's a bit of an increase for Trump, who led by 1 percentage point in last month's survey of likely caucus goers. This is USA Radio News.
The fight to preserve Western civilization and Western values in America is more important than it's ever been, and that's why you'll want to be at the Western Conservative Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 18th and 19th. It's the premier gathering of conservatives in the Western United States. It's the event you don't want to miss. Conservative stars from around the country will be there, including Governor Mike Huckabee.
Military is not a social experiment. The purpose of the military is kill people and break things.
America's Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
We're bringing the illegal immigration problem back to the forefront.
Keynote speaker and former presidential candidate Herman Cain.
The American dream is under attack.
But the good news is we are fighting back.
For more information, go to westernconservative.org. Register now for March 18th and 19th. Sign up for early bird pricing and see the confirmed list of speakers and sponsors. Get involved with the fight for our future at westernconservative.org.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is defending the governor of Maine after he made comments some say were racially charged.
Maine's governor...